Welcome to another episode of the Two Shots Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Garcia. And on this episode, we're going to be joined by my co-host, Wesley Perkins. And we have a special guest joining us today, the founder of Project Spurs, Michael A. DeLeon. And what we're going to talk about is some sad news that we received today. Unfortunately, Spurs fan favorite Boban has joined the dreaded Dallas Mavericks, our rivals. So we'll go ahead and dive right in and talk about that. And we're also going to mention something about DeMarcus Cousins. I believe there's some rumors swirling around that, you know, he might have a meeting coming up next week with the San Antonio Spurs. And we'll talk about how maybe we can fit him into the team roster. And is he a good fit moving forward with the San Antonio Spurs? So we'll cover that and a lot more on this episode. So let's dive in, guys. What'd you think about the news that broke today about Boban joining the Mavs? Since you are our guest today, Michael, we'll start off with you. What did you think about that?
First, I'm heartbroken for Tobias Harris because the whole Bobby and Toby show is over now, and you know, I know they're like best friends, they're buds, they had that romance going, and now it's done with. But now they're in different cities. They had been in Detroit together, then in LA together, and then Philadelphia. But then I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, as the people in San Antonio didn't hate Dallas enough, now it's going to be like, now they've got Boban, who's always the guy that, he's always that one Spur that nobody wanted to leave, but, you know, he had to go and make that money. And so now it's going to be kind of, I guess, even harder. But good for him. I'm glad that he's still getting some good market value out there for himself. And so he'll be able to, you know, earn a good contract. Unfortunately, it's with Dallas, but that's about the only thing.
Yeah, they kind of broke up the Bobby and Toby show. Rest in peace, Bobby and Toby. It is no more, but it would have been nice to see Boban at least maybe come back and play for the San Antonio Spurs at least one more time. I know the fans would have loved it, but the actuality is, you know, the team is kind of moving in a different direction. It's business at the end of the day, even though we really do love Boban. Who doesn't? He's a great teammate. Guy likes to have fun. He's all over social media. He's a great presence in the locker room. Well, he fits in so perfect with the San Antonio Spurs as far as like what goes on behind the scenes. But unfortunately, the nature of the business is, it looks like the Spurs are starting to get a little bit younger. Kind of, they have that youth movement going for them, and there was only so much money to go around. They do kind of have a full roster right now, so all these factors came into play, and, you know, they just, we're not going to make an offer. You know, somebody else picked him up, and that was the Dallas Mavericks. So what did you think, Wesley? I know you love you some Boban. So what did you think about the news that broke today about him joining the Mavericks?
Yeah, I love me some Boban, but yeah, I don't love me some Mavericks. You know, I think it doesn't bother me as much as if, you know, it were maybe he were going to the Mavericks when they were in, you know, championship level team and whatnot. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that he's garnered a spot for himself in the NBA where he's wanted, and he can, as Michael alluded to and Joe alluded to, that, you know, he's able to get a good contract and continue to play. And to be frank, you know, there are so few markets now for big men of his, of what he does. I mean, a shot blocker, rim protector, guy who's going to get you boards. You know, he's a hard to move object there in the middle of the paint. But, you know, you look at the direction the NBA is going, and there's very few and far between of those centers like that anymore. And so, you know, good on him for being able to carve out a niche and continue to do things. And even though, you know, his time, you know, has come to bring him into Texas, and it's not with the Spurs, I'm at least happy that he's close by and that he's continuing to find a way in the NBA. And who knows, maybe down the road, maybe he'll find a way back to San Antonio at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come back to San Antonio, even if it was just for like maybe a 1 year contract. You know, we bring him on, he'd probably see limited minutes, but those minutes would be amazing. You know, it's, we like to see Boban rejecting guys and just going up and, you know, to the rim, strong to the rim, and just having a thunderous dunk. And it gets the fans ignited. It gets the players going. He's like the kind of like that Energizer bunny that comes off the bench. You know, it's, he just has this aura about him where you see this big guy out there on the court and you just can't help but get excited to see him play, you know? So I'd like to see him come back one more time. If it, you know, the Spurs are able to work that out somehow down the line, it would be great to see. Unfortunately, just not, probably not for the next 2 years, you know. Maybe he'll hit free agency at another juncture and we'll get him at a, maybe a med level exemption or something, or the league, the veteran minimum. So only time will tell. But moving,
Joe, Michael, let me ask you this. I mean, because, you know, I kind of feel like Spurs fans, you know, they didn't appreciate him. They kind of, you know, Pop alluded to the fact that they kind of treated him like a mascot. I mean, do you feel like most Spurs fans would have welcomed him back as a integral part of the team, or just as somebody to just kind of gawk at? I mean, just to be honest,
I think they would have welcomed him back because he's added a little bit more to his repertoire now, where he's not so one-dimensional. But, you know, he has his usefulness at times, but there are still a lot of things that, you know, you got to put into consideration when you're putting him out there on the floor. It all has to boil down to matchups. And if the Spurs want to get younger, more athletic and faster, Boban quite doesn't fit that build. But that's my opinion. What were you going to say, Michael?
No, I actually agree with you. And you know, I think back then, sure, it was kind of a mascot thing. And now he seems to have added a little bit more. He's extended his range. The problem is that, I mean, you can only play him so many minutes. His stamina isn't there. You can't play big minutes, and you can't play him against faster guys, or he has a hard time covering ground, you know, is that all speed and all that. So he would purely be kind of a situational type center, a guy that you need just to, you know, be a rim protector, a guy that, you know, clean up rebounds and things like that, and against some of the bigger centers. But other than that, I don't think he would be, I don't see where he probably would be like starting or anything like that. I don't think he'd be that big a part of the team or the offense.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that regard. I don't think he'd ever be a starter per se, unless it's a matchup situation, you know, that Popovich would have seen if he had, in fact, you know, had come and joined the team. But it's not to be. So, yeah, we'll just go ahead and move forward. And, you know, like we said, maybe at some time the Spurs will revisit that. They can get him at a bargain, you know. Maybe they'll go ahead and pick him up. But moving forward, we had some news that broke out, you know, about DeMarcus Cousins. It seems like we had, you know, DeMar DeRozan kind of talking with them a little bit. So I was like, that was interesting. So they had, you know, we saw some stuff come out on social media. And from everything that we've gathered, it appears that the San Antonio Spurs are going to have some meeting with DeMarcus Cousins, possibly next week. We don't really know if that's 100% solid. You know, it's an NBA insider that's reporting that, somebody that I don't really know all too well, so I won't divulge the source. But until we hear somebody really put that out there, we're just going to say it's more of a rumor. But what did you think about that? If this DeMarcus Cousins, kind of, you know, rumored to have a meeting with the San Antonio Spurs, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that, really, Michael?
You know, it's funny because when free agency was first getting ready to get started, and people were putting together a list of targets, and a lot of people put DeMarcus Cousins' name on it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cute, right? Yeah, whatever, that's not going to happen. But, I mean, it just seems like, I seriously thought that early in free agency, there was going to be a team, New York Knicks most likely, it was gonna strike out and overpay for somebody like Cousins. That hasn't happened. There haven't been these teams. I think everybody's still waiting for the whole thing to happen with the guy that's in Canada tonight, apparently. That's his decision. But apparently, you know, what DeMarcus Cousins did last year and taking that pay cut to try to kind of like prove that he can get back to the player he was, he's probably going to have to do that again, but there's still a lot of hurdles standing in the way. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, okay, yeah, it's not out of the question completely, but a lot still would have to be done for that to even become a possibility.
Yeah, you know, there's I guess a lot of Spurs fans are kind of split in the middle when it comes to, should the Spurs pick up DeMarcus Cousins? You know, I remember specifically, there was an incident. You tell me if you guys remember this, where DeMarcus Cousins went after Sean Elliott. Remember that?
Remember that?
Remember that? And he got suspended. Didn't he get suspended, or he got a fine, I believe, by the league for that type of behavior? You know, because I believe it was something that Sean Elliott had said, and he was calling the game, if my memory serves me correctly, and it's something that DeMarcus Cousins heard. Wasn't that the situation, Michael?
Yeah, apparently Sean Elliott said something like how Cousins was trying to bully Tim Duncan, and basically that's not a player that you bully, that you can get away with bullying and stuff like that. And apparently Cousins took exception to that, and while Sean was out there competing his on-camera work, he kind of went out there and decided to start getting into his face and everything like that. They didn't exactly go into detail about what happened, but apparently, you know, he had to apologize and he had to pay a fine or whatever. But so yeah, it's funny because ever since this whole report has come out, you wouldn't believe how many people I've talked to, like in my regular life, say, oh, I don't want him because of that whole situation. And I'm just like, if you can add a DeMarcus Cousins, and, you know, obviously there's a lot to be done there. But if you can add him without giving up too much, you know, I think Sean Elliott would forgive the whole situation.
Yeah, I think he would forgive that situation as well. But let's go ahead and get Wesley's take. Wesley, you heard this rumor, you know, that the Spurs are going to have a sit-down meeting with DeMarcus Cousins. How is that sitting with you? And how do you think he kind of, like, fits in with the whole Spurs mantra, you know?
Well, hey, I was kind of that guy that Michael was talking about. You know, I'm rarely ever put rumors out there that I'm ever right about. But if this one comes true, I would have to gloat a little bit. I kind of just thought that this was something that really could happen, because when you looked, you know, at this season, what happened with Golden State, you know, he didn't really prove what he could do from that injury yet. I mean, he had some decent numbers, but not a big sample size. And then he really struggled when he came back in the playoffs. And to be fair, he probably wasn't quite ready at that point. But if you look at some of the facts, just look at some things. Okay. So let's say that as a rumor, at least, that DeMar reached out. We don't know that for sure. But we do know that Rudy Gay played with him in Sacramento. We do know that Cousins has the same agent as Aldridge. And we also know that DeMar and Boogie played together on Team USA. So, you know, there are a little bit of things there where you say the smoke that could turn into some fire. I really honestly believe it's the perfect Spurs situation. You know, how many times have we seen the Spurs take on a player that many kind of characterize as past their prime, or they're not going to ever come back again, and they don't have a prominent role anymore, and they're trying to prove themselves. The most recent one, of course, is Rudy Gay. I mean, who came off of that Achilles, and pretty much everybody was ready to just drop him as he was done for his career. So here comes Cousins in a style of play, let's be honest, guys, that way fits his skill level better. Because I always thought this too, that the Warriors was the wrong spot for DeMarcus Cousins. That style of play coming off that kind of injury was not befitting of what he needed in order to continue to have rehab. You know, you could just see that fast style, that, you know, up and down the floor, you know, shooting three pointers and, you know, get as many shots as possible. You know, it just, that doesn't fit what he can do. And it also, especially coming off his injury, was something that probably was detrimental to him in the long run. But I really feel like the Spurs are the perfect place. One, because of the injury management. You know, we know, despite what the villain from the North says, we know that the Spurs doctors and that their training staff is the best in the NBA by far. They've pretty much wrote the book on what it's like to have injury management. And so now you come to a club that you've already seen the success of Rudy Gay and what he's been able to do coming off that injury. And you have guys that he's comfortable with, and you have a coach who, that's the other part of this, is that he has a good relationship with. And knucklehead or not, he's going to come on the cheap. I guarantee you he's worth that risk.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. You know, when you look at somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, and you've seen what he was able to do in this year's playoffs, especially in the finals, when the, you know, Golden State Warriors were riddled with injury, he was productive. You know, he had some good games that he was able to put some good games. He was able to put up some points, played solid, and you can see that he still has some game left in him. He can be effective out there. So given all that, and even I remember seeing a report somewhere, I believe it was on NBA TV or one of the four-letter networks, where we saw they were talking about DeMarcus Cousins, and they said he no longer wants to be called Boogie. Now he just wants to be called DeMarcus. You know, so I was like, maybe he's trying to leave that you know, persona, I guess, behind him, showing that he's kind of grown up a little bit, which is a good thing, you know, especially right now during free agency. You know, he's not really going to be one of these guys that is going to garner a lot of attention, you know. So I think that he's going to be looking to, you know, like most people are thinking right now, he's going to go and do a one-year deal with the team, show that he can still play at a high level. He can still be, you know, a really solid player and kind of prove his worth. So I think if he can go and do that somewhere on a team that'll give him a shot, I think they're going to be happy, you know, with him and his production. And that could possibly lead to him maybe getting more offers during next season's NBA's, you know, free agency. And maybe he'll get a deal that's, you know, more than just 1 year, you know, maybe several years. And, you know, maybe he'll get a pay raise, because I believe right now if he was to sign with another team, you know, whether it be the Spurs or somebody else for 1 year, they'd probably give him less than he was making with the Golden State Warriors. And he would probably be playing for maybe either the veteran minimum or less than that, if my memory serves me correctly. Isn't that what they were saying, Michael?
It just depends on the team, but like, yeah. If it was the Spurs, you'd have to take a piece of that mid level, which is like $3 million left of that. Yeah. So that's not very much. So it would have to be a piece of somebody's mid level, or if they have the biannual exception, they could probably use that. If not, then it's definitely the veteran's minimum.
Yeah, because I kind of asked the question today, and I told Spurs fans, it's like, if you can get Boogie for a 1 year deal, we'd have to get rid of somebody. Who would you get rid of? And one of the names that keeps coming up that the Spurs will have to get rid of, if in fact they do make an offer to Boogie and they want to sign him, would be Shemezi Metu. I know a lot of Spurs fans feel a certain way about him. He is very young. He's raw. He hasn't had a lot of playing time. Some Spurs fans feel like he can still develop and be one of these role players. Others feel like, you know, he really hasn't shown them much, and they're not a fan of his. So if they were able to, let's say, procure this deal and they get rid of Shemezi Metu, would you pull that trigger, Wesley?
Yeah, I think I would. And for no other reason, this is a guard league. You know, you still have to have the big men. And I think, though, if you sacrifice Metu, he's not ready to play right now. And we've seen, and that's not an indictment on him. I think he wants to be a great player in this league, and I think he'll land somewhere if he were to get cut for this deal. But, you know, you look at a guy like Cousins, who's going to come in as a big guy who has a skill set, who's also added a 3-point shot. You know, he kind of fits more of the mode of what a big man does nowadays in the NBA. And whereas Metu on the roster, he's probably not going to come out of Austin, you know, for the season. And, you know, still quite a project, still quite a ways away, probably from league time. But, you know, again, even if you free that up, kind of to Michael's and to Joe, your point too, you still have to shed some salary, because I really don't think just part of that mid-level plus even the biannual would be enough, or, you know, especially not the veterans minimum. But it always comes back to the same thing, right? You know, the Spurs kind of took on a little bit of a bad deal when they brought back Marco. He's done some good things, but is he really the type of player to go forward with for you know, down the stretch for this next year and beyond? And of course, we all know, we can lament it all we want, but the Patty Mills deal is really killing the Spurs right now, in terms of money tied up. And it's all about, can you find somebody to take on one of those players, you know, where you could free up some money that would really probably entice him, at least for a year, and then you'd have to drop a meta too. So, like, to your point, Joe, you know, that would probably leave them, if they got traded maybe for a pick and, you know, got rid of one of those contracts and, you know, cut Metu, then they would be down to probably 14. And, you know, that would give them some roster options maybe going forward.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I was going to ask you a question. Say, you know, hypothetically here, that the Spurs wind up signing DeMarcus Cousins. Do you think the Spurs will actually start him and then have Jakob Poeltl be the backup? Or do you think it'll be vice versa, where they still start Jakob Poeltl and, you know, DeMarcus Cousins will be coming off the bench? How do you think they'll use him if in fact they do sign him?
Yeah, knowing Pop, he'd probably start with Hurdle, and then, you know, just give Cousins the time to continue to. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's probably a lot better by now, and he would be. But just like I said, knowing Pop, I think he'd want Cousins to have more time with the Spurs system, more time on the floor, and not stick him into the fire right away as a starter. But yeah, I mean, that's just the only way I see it happening. And to your point about Metu, it's funny because I'm the same way. I like Metu, but do you waive a guy like Metu if you can get Cousins? Absolutely, you have to. But they still have a lot. They still have, like I said, really the only they have two options right now. They can get rid of the player just because, and then clear and sign to $3 million. Or they can, but they, even if they trade players and get rid of, like, say, Patty's contract, $12.5 million, that still leaves them with another, like, they're about, I want to say, close to $20 million over the cap. So clearing Patty still doesn't do enough to get them under to where they can actually absorb more salary than that $3 million. So they have to work out, like, a sign and trade with the Nets for the whole Damari Carroll thing. Maybe do something like that where they can send a player back in order to get him to open up some roster space. So there's definitely some hurdles there. But yeah, I mean, I think if you can get a player of that caliber, even the way he played last year, I mean, he was still. I mean, yeah, he had problems with his stamina. The conditioning was hard being in the system with Golden State. But I mean, he still had what, like 16 points a game, 8 rebounds. You take that.
Yeah, and I was going to tell you another thing that I was kind of looking at here with Cousins is, what about him being able to, you know, really play a full season without getting injured? You know, he came back from injury. He got injured again. You know, this time it wasn't, you know, his Achilles. He hurt, I believe it was at his knee or his ankle, something like that, or a hamstring issue that he might have had, and he had to battle back, you know, through that injury again and go through the rehab and then come back again. And, you know, he was available for the playoffs for the Warriors and they utilized him. You know, a lot of people thought he was going to be done for the rest of the season, but Warriors, they needed somebody because they were losing bodies left and right. So they were kind of forced to play Cousins, and he performed quite well. But my thing is, over the course of a full NBA season, how durable do you think he's going to be? I mean, if you can get him for cheap, why not pull that trigger? But over the long term, if you let somebody young like Shazemi Metu go and you're going with this veteran and DeMarcus Cousins, it's kind of a gamble. How durable do you think this guy is?
Yeah, well, I'll take this one first, yeah. Joe. The thing is that I think it's a win now league. You know, this whole league now has just shifted so much. I hate it. I don't like the whole, you know, power team. You know, my best player, you know, calls your best player and we want to all get together. But that's the reality of the matter. That's where we are, you know. And I think that the Spurs have enough young talent right now to build on that's going to be the future of this franchise for years to come. I just feel like this would be the opportunity to get maybe, and this is kind of a funny way to put this, this would be kind of the underdog big three. You would have three guys who have all been all-star caliber or still are when they can play their best at a time that would be together on a team that just a year ago we probably thought was dead in the water, going to miss the playoffs, has no chance. So if you bring a guy like Cousins in and you bring him off the bench, who else has a more potent bench than taking Rudy Gay and him, and you take, you know, you obviously take in into effect what's going on with the younger cats and Lonnie and what he's doing and his improvement. And, you know, you start looking up and down and all of a sudden, wow, this Spurs team would have gotten really deep. And you really have something to kind of say, hey, we have a quiet big three. I think it would be phenomenal, honestly.
Yeah. What about you, Michael? As we were talking about with durability with DeMarcus Cousins, how durable do you think he is? And, you know, like Wesley was alluding to, you know, the Spurs do have this youth movement going on. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that. I think that's what he has to prove. I mean, really, I mean, that he's going to have to prove that he can stay healthy for an entire season if he wants another payday like he got with New Orleans and with Sacramento before that. He's got to show that. I'm honestly not sure, because I felt like he tried to fast-track himself back to playing shape so fast with Golden State. He went to get back so soon. He had been talking about making it back by All-Star, and then he made it, like, shortly after that. That, you know, I'm not sure he did himself any favors by doing that. And so, you know, maybe having the full offseason and, you know, to get himself back into – because really, I don't think he ever got himself back into full playing shape, like you know, what we're used to seeing from him, because he was still obviously going through, you know, rehabbing his injury and getting back into that shape. That's why Kerr took that approach of playing him limited minutes or rest him over the offseason. He has the opportunity to do that and then show that. So, I mean, he could do that, but, I mean, the injury that he came back from was pretty terrible one to have to deal with. So I think that's the big question mark, and that really is going to decide his future in the league.
Yeah, so we'll have to see, you know, exactly how this whole thing will pan out with DeMarcus Cousins. Love him or hate him, you know, I think Spurs fans are more than likely going to be ecstatic if the Spurs can pull out a deal and sign him. He'd be a solid backup, I feel, or even a starter, you know, just dependent on matchups throughout the season with the Yaka portal, you know. And you kind of like his veteran leadership, and you like that he's been around the league for a while, so he can be a true professional. And he, like we alluded to, he doesn't want to be called Boogie anymore. He wants to kind of leave that behind him, and he's kind of moved on and, you know, looking to kind of reinvent himself. So you like a lot of the good things that you're hearing from DeMarcus Cousins moving forward. I, for one, will be excited if, in fact, the Spurs can, you know, procure this deal. I think he brings a lot to the table, and Spurs fans will no doubt be wearing his jersey over at the AT&T Center during game days. But I want to go ahead and talk about one thing before we start coming to a close here. Things that broke earlier in the week, or earlier last week, should I say, near the end of the week, we got word that, you know, the Spurs had made a deal with Rudy Gay, you know, which was what they really needed to do. He was the first domino to fall, you know. And then we had a word that the Spurs signed Carroll, and everybody was like, oh, that's a decent pickup for the Spurs. You know, they were able to get him on the cheap. I mean, what were your thoughts on this, Michael? We'll start with you. First off, you know, with the Spurs being able to procure a deal with Rudy Gay, you know, because let's face it, we really did need him out there on the court. If it wasn't for Rudy Gay, I don't think the Spurs would have made the playoffs, and they wouldn't have won as many games as they did this past season. And two, Carroll, how do you think he's going to fit into the whole schematic here with the Spurs moving forward this season?
I have to really give credit to the Spurs front office on this one. I mean, honestly, Rudy Gay was in the driver's seat in this deal, and he could have asked for probably more, because really him signing, because he had his bird rights, and him signing could have affected, you know, the amount of mid-level exception that he had to offer. And the thing is, I mean, I know at first a lot of people were upset about the amount. It's only like $3 million more than he made last year. And also you have to understand that they can go over the cap to sign him. That money is not going to – but there's the one thing that I have a hard time explaining to people. It's like, yeah, but that money could have gone to sign so-and-so. I'm like, no, it couldn't have. You could only pay that amount to Rudy because of his bird rights, because it could go above the cap. So that doesn't affect the rest of the salary cap really at all. They could go above. And then, like I said, you know, he had a great season, I thought. He did well. And, you know, he was a piece I felt like they needed, and they needed to bring him back. Especially with, really, if they didn't bring him back, I mean, they would have only had, you know, very, very few funds to deal with. And, you know, getting a free agent to sign somebody of his caliber would have been really hard, because they wouldn't have had that full 16 to deal with. And then Damari Carroll, I felt like was, you know, it was just one that I thought a lot of people were going to hate. And I was just like, I think I said, I know some people are going to hate this, but I love this signing. I think that Damari Carroll is a great fit for the Spurs. Not only has he played under Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta, he's used to them, but also played in Brooklyn and is used to Sean Marks. And I know that Sean Marks and Atkinson ran a lot of Spurs stuff, and he's just one of those glue guys. And so I like that. I like that he can, you know, defend, obviously. What was the Spurs' biggest problem last year? Defense. And they really touched on that through the draft and also through free agency now. And he can also shoot the ball at times. And I think he, you know, his averages weren't terrible last year. And he wasn't asked to do a whole lot because they had a lot of other offensive weapons. But I think he's a guy that's going to fit in really well. And so I'm definitely a fan of it. And I'm also a fan of it because they didn't use the entire mid-level they had to sign him.
Yeah, that was a smart move for the Spurs, no doubt. But how are you feeling, Wesley? Did you like the fact that you heard the Spurs were able to go ahead and pick up Rudy Gay at the discount that they got him at? And two, what do you think about Carroll?
Well, I like two things. First of all, bringing back Rudy Gay made the most sense because you have a guy who fits the Spurs system like a glove. I think he really appreciates playing alongside DeRozan and the other players there and for Pop. So it made total sense. I think that he's bought into that system. And likewise, although, you know, I know that he didn't have quite the playoff series that we wanted him to have at times, that he was a valuable member of this team and provided, you know, great leadership in that locker room. And I'll be honest, I mean, everybody was saying after, you know, Rudy Gay was announced that he was going to resign, well, the Spurs are done. You know, everybody just said, well, there goes the free agent signings just like that. And, you know, just quickly, not too long after, you got the DeMar Carroll news, which I was ecstatic about. I'm going to be honest with you. When I heard that, I, to me, guys, I like the diamond in the rough. I like the guys that, you know, maybe they're not tier one, maybe they're not going to be, you know, Hall of Famers, but they're, you know, I think, Michael, you said it, glue guys. I mean, that's a perfect way to describe DeMar Carroll. He's like a more athletic version of Bruce Bowen. Maybe not as good a defender, but certainly a much more athletic player, a guy who can guard, you know, the four position, and especially for what that four position is now, you know, that stretch four that goes out and can dog you on the perimeter, but then also can drive past you and get tough underneath the basket. And to me, that's what Carroll is. He's that guy who can guard that position. He can also make the shots that he needs to. He's going to be at one of those corner three guys that, you know, they need when the lane collapses on, you know, DeJounte. I couldn't say enough. I know I was one of those guys saying that maybe they should explore to trade, you know, DeMar or LaMarcus, but good thing I'm not a GM because I really like the way this roster is shaping up. I love what they did in the draft, and, you know, those two pieces especially, I thought they got for the right prices in Carroll and also in Rudy Gay.
Yeah, no doubt. So you like all these moves that the Spurs did make. I mean, unfortunately for Spurs fans, we're not going to get any big name free agents, not this season. Maybe next season the Spurs can make a push and go after some big name free agent. If you know, we'll just have to see who's available at that juncture. But it all boiled down to cap space. And right now the Spurs, as we stated, they were over the cap, you know, and there wasn't a lot of money to go around. So I think they did a wonderful job with what they had available to them, you know. So the Spurs offseason right now, I'd have to give them at least a solid A. You know, that's just me. What do you think, Michael? How would you grade their free agency this offseason? Would you give them an A, or are you going to give them an F?
I think I'd give them an A, too. I think they did about as well as they could have. I did probably better than I expected. I know I had been pulling some people about who they wanted. A lot of people were saying Marcus Morris, who was probably outside of the market range. And then some people were saying Stanley Johnson. I'm happy with the Carroll. I'm glad they were able to bring Rudy back. And one other thing I didn't mention before about Carroll signing that I like is, could you have a better mentor for Keldon Johnson now? Like, because that's exactly the type of player or the mold that he's in. And so I think having him be there as a mentor for him is going to be great.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to ask you one thing too. We can't not have this podcast and not have a discussion about what's going on with the Spurs right now in the Summer League. I watched the first two games, you know, of the Summer League, and I kind of was watching the game that was happening tonight against Utah prior to us recording this podcast. Spurs were getting murdered tonight. If any Spurs fan was watching the game, Utah put it on them early, and it wasn't pretty. But the other two games that the Spurs played, I thought they did a really good job on defense. The team was playing really great team defense. Johnson had a good game, and I liked what I was seeing out of Ledbetter. I know he's making a strong push to try to, you know, get a roster spot with the Spurs because he's been a G League product for so long. I wish they would give him a chance because he's a streaky kind of shooter. You know, when he gets hot, he's hot. And then when he cools off, it's like, you know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of that Vinny the Microwave Johnson. Remember him from back in the day? Oh, he can heat up in a hurry, but then he'll cool off, you know, and I think that's what happened with Ledbetter in the game prior to this Utah game that we saw tonight. But I don't know. I kind of like him, but I don't know if he's really ready at this time or he'll ever be ready. I think he's going to be one of these guys who's going to stay in the G League, and some team will give him a chance. I just don't believe it's the San Antonio Spurs. I did like a lot of things that I saw out of Luka Samanić. In particular, I like his court awareness, and I like the way he's able to move out there on the court. He's able to come out. He's able to help his teammates. He sets picks. He gets in position to shoot a three, you know. He looks like he has a high basketball IQ, which will fit in nicely with the San Antonio Spurs, and he's an athletic guy. You know, he's 6'11". He can run the court quite well. I saw in one possession where he did run the court, and he was able to capitalize on the other end, finishing at the rim with a solid dunk, you know. So you like a lot of the things you're seeing out of this young man, and he's only 19 years of age. So sky's the limit for him. But he's going to see a lot of minutes, heavy minutes in the G League. And I also like what I'm seeing out of Lonnie Walker. I had said that I really wanted to see what he was going to be able to do in the summer league, how he developed his game. And you kind of like everything that you're seeing out of him right now. I'm not coining him as the second coming of a Tim Duncan, or, you know, he's going to be this superstar player for the San Antonio Spurs. I'm not saying that he might not ever be that type of player, but at this point in his career, he's developing quite nicely. His athleticism is off the charts, but he still needs to prove himself, you know? So Spurs fans got to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. I don't know what this fascination is with Lonnie Walker. He is a great player, don't get me wrong, but we still need the young man to develop a little bit. And that's what the Spurs are good at. They're good at developing these young players. And once they get to this level that they need to be at, we see him flourish here in the Spurs system. And I think that's the direction that Lonnie Walker will be going. But so far in this Spurs Summer League, what's been standing out to you besides what I just mentioned? Any player in particular that we should be, you know, keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, you know, I really, Joe and Michael, I really enjoyed watching Samanić. I think, you know, he's, I don't want to go too far, but he reminds me of Manu Ginobili in the way that he's got, you know, handles, he's got the spin move, he's got, you know, a lot of just true natural gifts about him. He's got a good three-point shot, although he can still develop his shot a little bit more. He needs to get more a better mid-range. You know, but like, you know, Joe, you were alluding to it, you know, to watch him, you know, make some tough catches and finish, you know, and to watch his defensive prowess where he's getting steals and getting deflections. You know, there's only one Manu. I don't want to say he's Manu, but I really feel like that game is something that we're going to watch progress and where we feel like, you know, he's going to have that energy type of role where he can do a whole bunch of things for this team going forward. I also like, you know, the things that you saw out of Keldon Johnson. He didn't have a strong first game, but that second game, I think you saw him settle in and showcase what, you know, what everybody had said about him, that he was a steal in the draft at the position that he was in, that, you know, quite frankly, most people felt like as pundits that the Spurs did it again, you know, after they've drafted so well at that 29, 28, you know, position over these years. And I don't doubt it either. I think that he's going to be an incredibly good, you know, small forward type player for the Spurs for many, many years. And likewise, Joe, I mean, Lonnie has shown something. I think that he's shown much better patience. I think there are still times where he kind of gets caught out of positions and that he shouldn't. But part of that is just getting game experience. The more game experience he gets, the more he's able to, you know, get a feel for that against true NBA talent, the better it's going to be. But yeah, no, there's a lot of good. And yeah, Ledbetter, I mean, that's a real good shooter. And if he doesn't get his shot, you know, now I do believe that maybe he's the next coming of say a Bryn Forbes, somebody who, you know, may take a little bit of time, but he's going to get a chance. And even if it's not with the Spurs, you're going to see something from that young man going forward.
Yeah. And what about you, Michael? As I had mentioned, who should we be looking out for? You know, anybody that stands out to you in the Spurs Summer League that Spurs fans should keep an eye out for?
You know, I mean, I think you guys named a lot of guys, but also one guy that has impressed me in the two games he's played, and the guy that probably not a lot of people expected much from, was Quindary Weatherspoon. He just seems a lot, you know, I think part of him being a four-year college player is that he seems a lot more poised. He seems like a vet out there when he's playing. He doesn't seem like, you know, like the rest of these guys. He seems like he knows what he's doing. And just that one word is poised, and he's done some good things when he's been out there, shown off a nice jumper, some nice moves to get to the basket and things like that. So that's one guy that I think to pay attention to. The other guys, you know, just continue to watch. I mean, I agree with you guys. Luka has obviously got a natural feel for the game that you know, you don't see every day from every player. It's just something that's special, for sure. These other guys have impressed. But I would just say, just like you said, Joe, cool your heels a little bit, like the pump breaks a little bit. let them get to Vegas. The level of competition gets a little bit higher in Vegas. And then, okay, then, you know, after a few games, once we see a little more consistency, because those one Luka game where he did pretty well, and some of the stuff I saw was, like, ridiculous. And I was just like, calm down just a little bit. And I said something in my last recap, like, similar to, like, what Bill Parcells said about, let's not get the anointing oils out just yet. Like, let's let them watch it, be patient, let them play the full summer league and a few games, and then we'll see where they're at. But there's still plenty of games, so we're still small sample size theater here.
Yeah, and, you know, that's, you know, something that we'll definitely keep an eye out for. Because, I mean, everybody's right now is watching the summer league over in Utah, because let's face it, you know, NBA action has come to an end, but when you see the summer league, you get excited again for the possibilities of what's to come for the regular season. And it's also a coming out party to see what these, you know, guys that have just been drafted, some of these big names, kind of have to offer. You know, people have been looking and paying attention to, you know, a plethora of different names out there on the court. So it really is good to see, you know, some of these young guys in action with the Spurs, or not the Spurs, but the Summer League, and, you know, specifically the Spurs as well when they're out there playing in the Summer League. So it's exciting. You know, at least it gets you, it kind of fills the void a little bit, because everybody wants to see NBA games again on TV, but this is kind of a good go-between, because we know once this is over, we have a long way to go. You know, everybody's going to be working on their game, no doubt, the younger players. But then we have, you know, summer camp coming up, and, you know, things will start getting, I guess, heated again come October, you know. So us as Spurs fans, this is kind of it. You know, when summer league is over, that's pretty much it for us. We're going to be on vacation. I think this is where everybody is, including myself. I'm going to take off for a week, and I'm going to get a little bit of R&R, because it's kind of bittersweet, man. When the Spurs season comes to an end, you want to see him go, and you always want to see him go into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and you want to see him go into the finals. But when that doesn't happen, the season is quite long, so you're kind of, it's kind of bittersweet, I think, just like me, right, Michael? Since we cover him most of the year, when the season comes to an end, we're just like, I'm kind of happy, but I'm not, you know?
Yes, like I can excel finally, but yeah.
I'm kind of happy, but I'm not, because I still want to keep covering the Spurs, but then you're excited because you're like, well, I can get to do some other things that really need to be done, like me building this new studio of mine. And it's kind of something that I'm doing every single day, building something or doing, adding something out here. So it gives us some downtime. So it's always good. But before we go ahead and end this episode of the Two Shots podcast, I wanted to give you guys a heads up. I'm going to be bringing Carl Schoening on. He's a good friend of mine. He does Spurs React with us throughout the regular season over with the Ticket 760. Chris Duell's the host of Spurs React after Spurs games throughout the regular season. And I'm a frequent contributor, should I say, to Spurs React. And I go out there and cover the Spurs game with Chris in studio during the regular season. So look for Carl Schoening, and he's going to give us some inside information in regards to what's going on over there with the Spurs Summer League. And like I always say, you always look forward to the great content that the great Carl Schoening brings, because he's a really nice guy, man. He's a health fanatic, and he's also a yoga instructor. So Carl is a renaissance man, so to speak. And it was his birthday today. So you know what? Happy birthday to you, Carl. And before we go ahead and end this, let's go ahead and give you guys a chance to plug yourselves and let the people know where they can reach you on social media. We'll start with you, Michael. Where can they find you and all the great things you do with Project Spurs?
Just follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/mdeleon, M-D-E-L-E-O-N, and make sure to check out productspurs.com. We've got not your typical type of recap after every Summer League game, but you know, something in there, kind of our observations. And starting in Vegas, we'll have our guy Gareth Gibbons, who's going to be out there in Vegas covering those games for us as well. So that there'll be a lot more content and some video stuff.
Oh, there you go. So make sure you go and check that out over there for your Spurs Summer League action. Great coverage out there by the guys from Project Spurs. And Wesley, where can they go ahead and talk sports with you over on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Wesley Perk. Right now, I'm loving talking about just the free agent stuff as it happens. And, you know, I think this parity in this league right now, because of all the moves and the things breaking out with Golden State, is pretty cool. Plus, also want to give a shout out real quick to the women's national team for making the finals there against the Netherlands in soccer. It's going to be a great match, and best wishes to the USA. Hopefully they win it all.
Yeah, I think that game is going to be played, I believe, on Sunday, if I remember correctly, and it's at 10 a.m., correct?
Yeah.
And I just want to give a quick shout out to Alex Morgan. She had that little, you know, thing that she did during the last game versus England, where she went to the side and kind of threw a little bit of shade to them by sipping a cup of tea. Hey, but in the play prior to that, when England scored a goal, I remember one of the players was kind of throwing shade by doing the goggles. So she's like, okay, we're going to be doing this now. So, you know, yeah. She kind of gave them a taste of their own medicine. I don't think it was in poor taste. They thought it was, but they're the ones who started it. If you don't want no stuff, then don't start no stuff. So I thought that was great by Alex Morgan. So that was savage. She's the GOAT in my book right now. So that was awesome. I can't wait to see the finale. Go Team USA. I know me and my daughter will be watching that game. Definitely. So for Michael A. DeLeon and Wesley Perkins, I'm Joe Garcia. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to another episode of the Two Shots Podcast. And like we always say, spread the love, stop the hate, and be kind. We're out. Peace.